leaving, I want to ask if you will, please be in prayer for your pastor as I preach this morning. This is probably going to be one of the hardest messages I've ever preached, not because of theological or depth. It's going to be one of the hardest ones. As a matter of fact, my wife doesn't know it, but honey, those tissues are sitting right there beside you for you. So just, you know, hold on. This morning we're going to continue our sermon series on issues that we can unite as a church. And I want us to remember what we've learned so far in the past two messages. Church, we can unite on the fact that Jesus is Lord. Amen? Can we not? Without a doubt, we can unite together. We don't have to fuss and argue and fight about who's Lord. We can all unite that Jesus is Lord. We also learned last week that there's not a person in this room, there's not a person under the sound of my voice. And I hope, and listen, if you weren't here last week, please get a CD or listen to it on the internet. You're not perfect. None of you are. Even those who think you're perfect, you're not perfect. Griffin, you're not perfect. You knew that though, didn't you? You did? Okay, I'm just checking. So we've got this, you know, those two were fairly easy concepts to agree with. Today's message is a very personal message to me because I believe that something that's happened in my life has made this issue of unity even more real to me. Church, I believe that everything in life happens for a reason. Everything. Y'all stay with me now. Everything in life happens for a reason. Y'all all agree? Well, we agree, but we need to remember this and we need to understand that things happen for a reason. You know, this issue this morning, everything, and this is the title of the message, everything happens in life for a reason. This can unite us and help us to grow stronger in our relationship with the Lord. So if we understand everything that happens in life for a reason, and more often than we could imagine, that reason is to bring glory for God. Something very personal has happened to me this last month and has made me ask God, what are you wanting me to learn from this? What are you wanting me to learn from what's taking place? I want you to understand that I'm not alone. Many of you have either faced this problem or you will soon face the problem or the issue that we're going to be talking about this morning. What remains is you and I are going to be faced with a choice to either let this issue, whatever issue, consume us to the point where it pulls us away from God, or we can understand why it's going on and continue, and it's going to continue and draw us closer to God. That sounds kind of crazy. What are you talking about, Pastor? Pastor, what's the issue that's, you know, you've learned from? What's the issue that's been driving you crazy the past month? What is it? What could it be? What could it be that I might have gone through where, you know, every person most likely is going to go through? What is it? What is the issue, Pastor? My children leaving home. That's the issue. What is it that God's taught me through my children leaving home? We'll get to that here in a few minutes, but this has been hard on me. This has been hard on my family. It's been hard on my wife. Now, please listen. Don't turn me off here. Please don't laugh under your breath and say to yourself, well, time will heal this and you're going through this because, you know, over the last month, you know, all two of your children leave. Listen, no, church, I believe God has given me this message so that I might learn from it. And in days to come, you might be able to learn through it. Amen? Now, honestly, I struggled when Emily left home. She was a daddy's girl and she is still a daddy's girl. I really struggled when Emily left and went to school. But I've really struggled with Emily and Kyle Jr. being gone. I've had a tough time. Last year, we had one empty room. This year, we have two. I thought it would be different, but it's become evident to me that it's very different. Very different. Church, my fear next year when Alex leaves home, that it's going to be even worse on me. Now, Amy and I don't sit here on a daily basis, okay, how you doing? We all face different things different ways. I just don't talk about it. Try not to talk about it. But let me tell you what I find myself doing. And some of these she doesn't even know, so I'm going to try not to look at her. Okay? These are things that I find myself doing. I find myself masking my emotions around people, especially my wife and my son Alex, who's still at home, trying to put on that strong, manly front when in all reality, I felt like it at times part of me is dying inside. Masking of emotions, that's what me, you know, us men do, isn't it? We try to put on that brave face and, you know, everything's going to be all right. This is just a part of life. And, you know, a year and a half ago when Kyle Jr. was a junior in high school and Emily was she was just graduating, you know, Kyle did something really stupid because all of you do something stupid sooner or later. Y'all, right? Can I get a testimony witness from parents? And he was just being disrespectful. Like, y'all shouldn't be disrespectful. Scripture says you could die from that. But I looked at Kyle Jr. and I said, listen, son, you have a year left. Keep your mouth shut and get out, and I'll be happy that you're gone. That wasn't the truth. I thought that's the way I felt. And at the time, listen, I really felt that way. It felt good for those words to come out of my mouth, Bob. But now they're haunting me. They're haunting me. Feel like a part of me is dying inside at times. I call and text Emily and Kyle every day to make sure that they're okay, to see how their day went, to make sure that they didn't have any problems, to see how things are going with their schoolwork. I find a reason to communicate with them every day, many times a day, because I need to know that I'm still needed. That's me. Something else I find myself doing, and y'all might find this funny. When I'm at home alone, every day, I walk through their rooms. Just standing and looking. Remembering. I sniff the air trying to see if the room still smells the same as it did when they lived there. Sometimes that's a bad thing, and sometimes that's a good thing. I've noticed with Emily's room, she's been gone for 3 years. I've noticed with Emily's room, the longer they've been gone, the less stuff is in their rooms from when they were children. And the more the room looks like a guest room or just an extra bedroom. And after I stand for a while, I shut the door and try to make myself think of something other than my children leaving home. Sometimes I you know, it's easy. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes something's on TV and it'll take my mind away. Sometimes I'll get a phone call. Sometimes it's hard. But when the door opens and the wife and the kid come in, Alex comes in, I try to change my emotion, put on the strong, manly front. I've had a hard time trying to learn, church. I've tried having a real hard time trying to learn how to cook for just three people. It's hard. I've made several meals where half the church could have come and eaten. Then there are those empty chairs at the dinner table. When you're trying to eat and you're trying not to look at the table and you're trying not to look at the empty chairs. Those empty chairs just grab you. Then there's Alex. Not just the idea that he soon will be like the others and spread his wings and fly out of the nest, but knowing that he, the younger brother, is struggling. With his brother and his sister not being there. Alex had two posts on Facebook that y'all saw, and it nearly killed me and his mom. But again, I didn't, you know, say a lot to him. This is the first text that he wrote on Facebook. He said, I want my brother back. Now, if that won't tear your heart out as a mom or a dad, something's wrong with you. The second Facebook post that he wrote later on that week was this. At night, the worst feeling ever is knowing the rooms beside you are empty. Now, church, watching Alex struggle has hurt me, but I've tried to encourage him. I've tried to, you know, be the strong dad, you know, the manly face, put up the manly front, no crying, don't be a sissy. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Church, what is it that I'm to learn from this heartache? What am I to learn from this heartache? What is it that God wants us to learn from this heartache? And I know some of you in here, Donna and Joey, y'all can sympathize with me, but I've got a child who's 4 hours away, and I've got a child who's 5 hours and 15 minutes away. I don't have a child who's in the middle of Texas. Some of you have children in Pennsylvania. Teresa, I think you have a child who's in Pennsylvania? No? But, you know, in Florida. Okay. Some of you have children who are on the other side of the nation. Some of you children have, you know, passed away. They're already with the Lord. So you're saying, you know, Pastor, deal with that. How hard is that to grasp and to feel and to understand? You know, God, what is it that you're wanting me to learn from this? Did you ask yourselves this when you were going through the same trials that I went through? That I'm still going through and that I'm going to go through again next year? Did you ask yourself, what is it, God? What is it that I'm supposed to learn from this heartache? Before I tell you what I think God's told me, I've learned, and I think I want you to understand this as well, that Scripture tells us that God uses even greater measures than this, brings more heartbreaking measures, that people would learn the lessons He was teaching. In Hosea chapter 1, verse 1, the Scripture says this, "The word of the Lord that came to Hosea, son of Beeri, during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and to Jeroboam, son of Joash, king of Israel." This is the message. "When the Lord first spoke to Hosea, He said unto him, Go and marry a promiscuous woman, and have children of promiscuity, for the whole land has been promiscuous by abandoning the Lord." Church, God so wanted Hosea the prophet to feel what he felt, he himself felt, to so love someone who did not love him the way that he loved her, to chase her around, chase after her, after the one he loved so much, to restore her only to turn back to that lifestyle again and again and again. God wanted man to feel the pain he was feeling about the people he loved. This was a hard lesson, church, but there was a point to all of the heartache. I'm glad I don't have to face that lesson. But once again, God, what is the lesson that you're wanting me to learn from this heartache? Men, we're good at turning things off and turning things on and turning things off and being able to mask things. But listen, the older I get, the harder it is. And this one, I'm having problems with masking. God, what is it that you want me to learn from this? Can I tell you that I've learned from my children leaving home? Hey, church, I asked God the big question, and I firmly believe that He answered my question. I told God, my heart is about to explode here. What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to be learning? What am I not seeing that you want me to know, God? Here's His answer. The love you have for your children is nothing in comparison for the love that I have for you. Kyle, I love you that much and more. It's hard for us to understand how much God loves us. And I believe we become cold and indifferent at times as we look at God. We sing, you know, Jesus loves me, and we know all the words. But church, listen to me. Everything in life happens for a reason. If we'll just stop and shut our simple little minds and shut our simple little mouths and step back and ask God, why? Why? He'll answer us and He'll tell us. I believe God was telling me, and He wants me to know. And I believe that I had to go through this to understand that God loves me just as much as I love my children and my wife. And then some. And much more. His answer to me also was this. The love you have for your children is nothing in comparison for the love that I have for you. But he says this as well. I know what you're feeling because I feel the same way. I long to hear from you. Church, I look at the phone just to see if a text or a phone call's come in. If they've responded to a text or a phone call that I've made. I'm sitting there waiting and longing to hear from them, to make sure they're okay, especially when they're driving up and down 95 and 26. God says, I long to hear from you that same way. Do you realize God loves us that much? We're His children. But we act like we're orphans. He longs to hear from us, church. I know what you're feeling. I know what you're feeling, God says. I know how you feel because I want you to understand that just as you want to feel needed by your children, I want you to understand that you need me. We try to do everything on our own and in our own power. And God says, no. You don't have to. I don't want you to. You're my child. Come to me. I'll help you. God wants us to need Him the way we want our children to need us. God showed me that one of the greatest concerns that I had was the distance. The distance would create a void in my relationship with my children. And it has. And it will continue to. But as they have families of their own, our distance will continue to grow. But God whispered in my ear and He said this, no distance will ever cause a void between me and the relationship that I have with you. Church, it's been hard. And I imagine the days aren't over yet of being hard. But I think God has a lesson in everything. And it can unite us and grow us stronger and closer to God, or it can push us away. It can hurt us and it can harm us. Church, God wants us to love Him the way that we've loved our children. God desires for us to communicate with Him just to hear the voice of His children. And listen, some of y'all, it's been a long time since God's heard your voice. A long time. God yearns for the times that you need Him the way our children still need us. God wants us to seek a relationship with Him, this unending, ever-growing, never empty any empty rooms, never empty chairs at the dining room table. He wants us to love Him the way we love our children. This morning, will you come down to this altar this morning and start loving God, church, the way He has always loved you? Will you? Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Lord, I pray that every person in this room can feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to be receptive to the Holy Spirit right now. You don't need to hear my words, Lord. You need to hear the words of Your children on their knees before You, crying out to You in love. So I'm going to shut up right now, God. As the music plays, I pray that You would bring us to our knees. Help us, Lord, to fall back in love with You. In Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come?